Just a wild story, and I'm going to try to condense it as much as possible. There's a woman named Nadia Minetto, who was the accounting manager for Westcom Solutions, a Mississauga software company. It had been her job to approve payments on all the firm's American Express credit cards used by employees for business expenses, and that included her own. So over a five-year period, at least $6.8 million of Westcom's money was misappropriated by Nadia Minetto. And most of it was used on Apple phones and tablets that she would then resell to somebody else. So she ends up being found out in 2014, 5 years after this started. Christine Pacey, a consultant who was hired by the company just to help as they were looking at becoming publicly traded, discovered spending irregularities. She was one who blew the lid off of this entire thing. And interestingly enough, and this is what I'm going to ask our special guest about, the company did not go after Nadia Minetto criminally. They made some kind of quiet deal with her. Howard Levitt's on the line. He is Canada's top employment lawyer. He is the host of Employment Law Sundays at 1 on News Talk 1010. And apparently he's also in Japan. So welcome.
Well, thank you, Barb.
Thank you very much for doing this.
A little dose of Canadian reality.
Yes, absolutely. There's so many things about this story, but I'm astounded that the company didn't go after this person criminally.
I'm not astounded at all.
Really?
I mean, on the one hand, you want to go after them criminally to send a message to everyone that fraud doesn't pay and it's not just a matter of paying back the money. On the other hand, the fact that they have held back on criminal charges motivates her to give all the money back.
Mm.
If you charge her criminally, she's got nothing to lose. That's why they didn't go after her criminally.
Okay.
They want to make a deal with her and give her the incentive to give everything she had to them.
Right. Although at some point, she was asked by the company's lawyers where the money went, and she said she honestly didn't know.
Well, it was probably used in coke or gambled or, you know, I know nothing what the case reports. I'm speculating, but obviously the person had some sort of addiction. She was flaunting being caught for, what, 4 or 5 years in a way that was flagrant. So she had some powerful compulsion to keep stealing.
And I guess what happened, because they're saying that the whole case would probably have been kept quiet, except that she broke an agreement that, similar to what you're saying, they allowed her to keep her house so she could rebuild her life. She had to turn over a couple of vehicles, and I guess she was supposed to disclose all of her assets and expenses, but she didn't do that. She failed to reveal a cash gift of $10,000 to a family friend, season tickets for the Raptors, a car that she sold to a Westcom colleague, a trip to Las Vegas with her friends. So because of these breaches, in 2015, a judge gave the company authority to seize her house. I guess she wasn't giving the money back. Is that essentially what happened?
Well, I've made exactly that kind of deal before, where you decide to let them keep a little bit of money so their back is entirely against the wall. Otherwise, they've got no incentive but to fight. And they have to disclose in an affidavit form and sometimes an examination or discovery or oral examination form every penny they have and where all the money went, on the basis that the deal is rescinded if they conceal anything. And that's obviously what she did. And you make those deals so they will reveal everything, but if they don't, then the deal falls by the wayside and then you can go after the rest of the assets that you find.
Are you
so that's what happened here.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Okay.
It's sensible from the company's part. The company's really more interested in getting whatever money back you can than anything else.
Right.
Retribution. So if they can do that in a form that's relatively enforceable, that's the best incentive they have. Also, the company feels foolish. They don't really want this in the public arena, how careless they are with their financial affairs, especially when they're going public. So they probably didn't want a court case or criminal charges or the article that we're talking about right now.
I wonder how many companies are out there that have someone in a position like this woman was in, where she was pretty much the one approving all of the expenses, and she would just approve her own expenses.
Barb, all the time.
Really?
Employee theft is massive in Canada. Normally, you don't get away with quite this much. Normally, it's not that flagrant. And normally, there's better controls in place than this. But some companies focus on the wrong things and don't remember to think about everything. There's so many ways of stealing money from companies or simply being careless with your own receivables and right. losing money that way. Companies have to have serious and substantive financial controls in place in so many areas, and sometimes you don't have the best staff in place that are supposed to be implementing those controls, but they don't get implemented.
Have you dealt with cases to this extent, $6.8 million is stolen
no,
from
companies? No, not quite that much, although I probably had cases that are that large given the year that it occurred, relatively speaking. I had a case just like this entered into just this kind of a deal where the person had to be examined under oath by me, had to swear an affidavit disclosing all of their assets, they're allowed to keep certain amounts, but the deal was rescinded if there was any lying or non-disclosure. And the deal, it would have come to about $6.8 million current value terms.
Wow.
But it's still extraordinary. That happened once in my career, that it was that large an amount of money. That's probably why the company also didn't make criminal charges, because it wasn't $50,000 or $60,000.
Right.
They were powerfully motivated to get their money back.
Right. Yeah. If it were a lesser amount that they could essentially write off, then it's worth going after the person criminally, I would assume.
Sure. Assuming you won't get the money back at that point, you're going to be spending on criminal lawyers doing what their best to hide and conceal it so they have something left to their name, or putting into foreign bank accounts. But at least you're sending a message to everybody. But if it's this kind of money, your primary goal as a company is getting repaid.
I don't know if you're going to be able to answer this. Is there sort of one suggestion you can make to companies to help them with internal theft? Because I know it's huge. Like, is there one mistake a lot of companies make?
I don't think that there is. I think you need a very good controller and internal audit person who understands the current literature and the current understandings of employee fraud and systematically goes through every potential avenue and strokes it off and makes sure it's monitored. But you need somebody good at the top who understands that. Obviously, in this case, they just weren't checking in any serious way the expenses of individual employees. But that's one of 100 things. I, for example, in my own law firm, read every single check every month to make sure somebody didn't sign it, who wasn't, of course, me.
Right. Howard Levitt, it's always a treat to have you on, especially from Japan. Thank you so much for doing this.
Okay.